Welcome to the Pregnancy Loss Journey Podcast, a place to hear from professionals, authors, and organizations in the field, along with personal loss stories. I'm Christy, your host and fellow loss mom. Thanks so much for tuning in and hope you enjoy today's episode. This episode is brought to you by the makers of the Comfort Cup, the world's very first weighted therapeutic teddy bear. For the past 18 years, the Comfort Cup has been used at top hospitals across America to bring love and comfort to mothers and families who lose a child. If you or someone you love has lost a child, please go to thecomfortcup.org to learn more about the Comfort Cup, share your story, or to donate to someone in need. Need a hug? Get a cub. The Comfort Cup is here for you. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you all know that due to some difficult family circumstances, I will no longer be able to run Pregnancy Loss Journey. So this means that the last episode will air on February 5th. Guys, I'm so sorry, and I know that there aren't really a whole lot of podcast options out there for this topic, but if you're looking for some ones that come close, I recommend the Stillbirth Matters podcast, the What's Your Grief podcast, and the Beat Infertility podcast, which just isn't about infertility. It's also a lot about miscarriage and recurrent pregnancy loss and early loss. So all three of those are really great, and hopefully you can get what you're looking for out of those podcasts as well. Okay, so in today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Jody Matthews. Jody is a certified life coach, writer, keen traveler, minimalist, financial freedom advocate, and mother to Hamish. She is passionate about empowering women to live an abundant life and to truly value themselves for all that they are. Using her experience working as a CPA and finance manager in the corporate world, she also loves to share her insights and encourage others to kick goals in their careers and businesses. Since becoming a mother, Jody has also been writing a daily blog dedicated to her son, Hamish, who is sadly stillborn at 39 weeks. Now that you know a little bit about Jody, let's start the interview. Hi, Jody. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Christy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to hear your story and hear about your son. So why don't you just start us off and tell us a little bit about your story?
Okay, well, where do I begin? Well, I guess I'll start with falling pregnant. It took us just over 2 years, and we found out on the 5th of January this year that we were pregnant, and obviously we were over the moon because we'd been trying for so long, and we'd fallen pregnant naturally, which was such a blessing, and we couldn't wait to, you know, get to the doctors to confirm it all. My husband, Greg, wouldn't believe me that we were really pregnant until we went and got the test done at the doctor's. And yeah, I had a pretty stress-free pregnancy. I didn't have any real morning sickness. I was very lucky. I felt really good throughout my whole pregnancy. And I was seeing an obstetrician, and I also had a doula helping me through. And I got to 38 weeks, and I had my last checkup. I think it was 38 weeks and 3 days, and a few days after my checkup, I started to realize that my little boy wasn't moving, and I woke up in the morning and I just felt like something wasn't quite right, and I was rolling side to side, and I drank some juice, and I tried to do everything they say to do to, you know, get your baby moving, and nothing was working, and we just went straight to the hospital that day, and the midwife came in and obviously checked for the heartbeat, and, you know, within a couple of minutes she was like frantic and she just couldn't find a heartbeat, and she left the room and kind of left us there without us knowing what was going on. And it was then I pretty much knew he wasn't with us anymore. And then they went and got a radiographer, and they obviously put the scanning machine on me and checked for his heartbeat, and they couldn't find one. And the lady just looked at me and said, "I'm so sorry." And that's when we knew we'd lost Hamish. And within about half an hour, I had a social worker there, my obstetrician, and they basically stood there and told me, "The best thing for you, darling, is to have a natural birth, and, you know, for your future pregnancies and for your body." And in my head, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, it was still, you know, you kind of go into denial, or you're in disbelief, even though you know when they've told you those words that your baby's no longer here. It's so heartbreaking that you just can't even comprehend what's going to happen next. So I stayed in hospital, and the next 24 hours I was induced, and I had Hamish at 6 o'clock the next day, 6 o'clock in the evening. And and he came into the world, and I did have a beautiful labor. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my whole entire life. Going through a labor is not easy, whether or not your baby's here, and when you know your baby's gone, it's even harder. And yeah, it was really tough, but I got through it. And you know, I had a beautiful doula there with me, and I also had my husband, social worker Deb, and my lovely obstetrician, and beautiful midwives, and I had so much love and support in that room. And when he was born, they put him straight onto my chest, and I got to hold him. And because I was 39 weeks on the day that he was born, you know, he was perfect. There was nothing wrong with him. When he came out, we realized that it was the cord that was wrapped around him, and it was wrapped around his body a few times and his neck, and it must have just cut off the blood supply at some time, you know, the day before, you know, only 2 days after my last scan, which was so crazy to think that a cord could do this. You know, it was never something I ever thought that could take your baby. I knew of having cords around the neck and things like that, but and I just thought I had the most healthiest pregnancy. How could this happen to me? Yeah, obviously anyone that goes through this and has a stillbirth, it's hard to reconcile, and it's hard to accept. And finding out that my little boy Hamish was healthy otherwise was really hard. And yeah, so we spent 4 days at the hospital with him, and I had my family and some of my close friends come and visit and meet him, which was beautiful. And I basically listened to whatever the social worker said. She's like, pretty much, you know, this is your time with your baby. And you know, at first I thought it was kind of weird to be holding him and, you know, just singing to him or talking to him in the hospital, but you know, that part was probably, you know, they're cherished memories that I'll keep the rest of my life. And I did get to walk out of the hospital with him. We arranged his funeral while we're still in the hospital, and we basically, by the Wednesday afternoon, we left the hospital, and I got to carry him out in my arms, and we got to take him to his funeral. So that was beautiful. And even though it was one of the saddest days of my life, it was so beautiful because we really got to send him away with all of our loved ones there. And my husband is Scottish, and we had a little baby kilt for him. Yes. And so we put him in his little kilt, and we all lit a candle for him and said goodbye. Yeah, it's been 8 weeks, just over 8 weeks, so still working through all the grief and everything. And of course I miss him like crazy, but just trying to do my best every day to get by and, you know, do things that would honor him. And yeah, so
yeah, 8 weeks, my story.
Yeah, it's not long.
No, I'm so impressed that you're here and talking about it. And it sounds like there was a lot of dignity in the way that his death was handled, that you got to walk out of the hospital with him. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of that happening before.
I had the most amazing social worker. Her name's Deb DeWild, and she is like amazing. So we got to take him outside and sit in a beautiful garden before his funeral, and I found out that his hair was blonde, like it was this like dark kind of blonde color, and I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't taken him outside, because under the hospital lighting it just looked brown, like dark brown, and he just looked like a different baby outside. So even that was, you know, amazing to me. And just getting photos, you know, like there's a organization in Australia called Heartfelt, which is a charity that professional photographers will come to the hospital the, you know, day or day after you have a stillborn baby, and they'll take family photos for you. And we had that, and you know, those photos I'll cherish forever. I would say this to anyone that's going through this, you know, if you ever have a stillbirth, get some photos, because that's the one thing that you can keep forever as a memory of your child.
Yeah, because I feel like you kind of forget, like you have an idea in your head of what they look like, but without the pictures, you don't have that clear, detailed image.
Yeah. And that's what's given me comfort to be able to look back on his photos and look at his little face and his feet and his hands and just kind of be reminded by him.
Yeah. So did you know that stillbirth was like a possibility, or was it something you had never heard of, or you'd heard of it, but it was like, that probably won't happen to me? Where were you before this happened?
Well, in my head, I'm one of those people that is very into natural health. And although I was going down the hospital route, I had a doula. I did a lot of hypno kind of calm birth meditations. I wanted as natural birth as possible, although in a hospital setting, because I knew that there was a possibility that things can go wrong. And in my head, I thought, well, I'll still give birth in a hospital because I want that there, you know, as the safest place for me. That's where I felt safe anyway. I know a lot of people feel safe also at home, but yeah, I think for me, I didn't think too much about it, and I definitely didn't research much about it. And I guess I was the opposite to a paranoid pregnant woman. I was very trusting of my body. I never really worried too much. I did know that your placenta can age, so that if you went past 40 weeks that you'd be going into a risky territory sometimes, and, you know, sometimes it's better to be induced. I never knew that the cord could just wrap around his body and restrict his blood like the way it did. It wasn't the cord around his neck that was the problem, it was actually around his body. And what I didn't realise is how common stillbirth is. Obviously, we were talking about this before, you know, in Australia it's one in every 120, 125 births, and no one tells you when you're pregnant. I know that obviously no one wants to scare you, but at the same time, I wish I'd known more about monitoring movements. And, you know, if his movements had slowed down in that last week, which I'm pretty sure they did, if I'd known that was an alarm sign to send me to hospital, then obviously you always think of the what ifs, but I believe that we really need to let pregnant women know more about monitoring movements and more about like what could go wrong and how you can prevent it from happening.
Yeah, and what's normal? I mean, a couple weeks ago, I heard somebody say, oh, well, babies slow down the later you get in pregnancy. I'm like, no, they don't. But it's just still this concept that we just don't know anything about it because it's too taboo to talk about.
And one thing I didn't know was that babies' sleep cycles are only 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So within every 2 hour period, you should always feel your baby move. And that's one thing I never knew. Like, I thought that they could sleep for hours in your belly and like wake up a few hours later, and like a baby would, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours here. And I had the pregnancy books and I read some of them and I did look at what was in there, but there wasn't too much about fetal movements and how to monitor your baby. And it was a lot about labor, a lot about what happens with epidural or a C-section or this and that, but there wasn't too much information about, yeah, how to monitor your baby's movements and how to, you know, really be in tune with them.
Yeah, which is really sad, but I know that it's something that you're working on, is spreading awareness even so quickly after your son's death. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you're doing that?
Yeah, I'm a coach, so I work as a life coach as well as have a corporate job in finance. And, you know, I've been using my platform and my voice to be able to speak up about it. And I've been pretty open on social media, and I've also been writing a blog. So every day since Hamish left, I've been writing a blog and just sharing it with other mums and communities where they might not know much about stillbirth, and mothers groups that my friends are a part of and things like that, so they can, you know, understand what it's all about. And also, you know, this could help them support a friend that's going through it as well, because it happens more than we realize, obviously.
Yeah, and how do you find the strength to do that? Because I find for me personally that it's really exhausting to spread awareness, so I'm really curious how you're finding the energy to keep going with it.
Yeah, I think writing for me has always been really important part of my life, and I've always been writing, and I've been writing a blog for a few years before this. But now, obviously, I've been exhausted and I'm still just taking every day as it comes. But I trust that this is what Hamish wants me to do, and, you know, I kind of trust that this is part of his purpose. I feel like he chose myself for a reason. And, you know, me and my husband are both pretty open people, and we're both sharing it with our greater communities. And it's not easy, but I feel like I'm doing Hamish proud, you know, and that makes me feel good. So, yeah, that's where I kind of get the strength from.
Yeah, absolutely. Super proud.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and how did your community respond to your loss?
It's been overwhelmingly good. I work with a lot of coaches as well, and I like a lot of life coaches in all different areas, some in fertility, some just in career or business. And I feel like everyone around me has really rallied around us and given us so much support. I've had letters come from people I don't even know. I've had gifts being sent to our house, and obviously like my work all put in and got us vouchers, like for meal vouchers for dinners, and just so much love and support. Like, that's the one thing I would say to anyone that's going through this is be so open to receiving, because I was one of those people before that was very independent woman, love to kind of help everyone else and do things for others, but I didn't like other people helping me as much. You know, I found it hard to receive help. And the biggest lesson I've been given since Hamish is just to receive and to accept help from everyone, even if it's a stranger, because there is so much love and people just want to support you. And when people are supporting you, they're getting something out of that too, and they want to show their love towards you. So, you know, I've just been, yeah, really open to all of the love that's come my way, which has been really overwhelming.
Yeah, which definitely after a loss, it puts you in a place where you only have energy to receive. You just don't have anything else to give.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know we've talked a little bit about you as a life coach. Can you talk about how that kind of prepared you for handling your son's loss?
Yeah, I think obviously this kind of loss is unimaginable, and it doesn't matter what you do or what you can do for yourself. But like, I'm a personal development junkie and I've done a lot of work. Like, I've been to the Tony Robbins seminars. I've done a lot of work on myself and things like that. But just trying to get through this, and I think the best thing that like the personal development side of things has helped me is just to learn to be more self-aware, I guess. And I realized that I wasn't very good at allowing my emotions to come up. And the biggest lesson I've had through this is to just allow myself to cry and allow myself to feel anger, feel frustrated, feel whatever comes up. Whereas before I was very controlled with my emotions and I thought I was being strong, but it's really not. It's like, when you go through this, you realize you've got to really let your emotions out, and crying is so healing, and every tear that you cry for your little baby is part of that healing. And I just think, yeah, I've learned so much, like more than in the last 10 years, in the last 8 weeks, you know, like it's like, oh gosh. Yeah, crying and letting my emotions out, and also writing, you know, that's been so soothing. I would say to anyone that has trouble getting their emotions out, just write it out, put it in a journal. No one has to see it, you know, just write it out and let it out, because if you keep it inside, it's just, that's when it'll come out in other ways. If you don't deal with your grief now, it'll come back, you know, in 5 years' time and hit you.
Yeah. And so this might basically echo what you just said, but what's the best thing that you've done for your grief?
Well, besides crying a lot, I think the best thing I've done is taking myself into nature. I've just been going to the beach quite a lot. I live in Sydney, not far from the water, and, you know, going to the beach a lot, being outside, even if I just go sit on the grass and just feel like I'm close to Mother Nature. And I think also, like, other than the writing and just letting my emotions out and receiving help from others, you know, that's all I can do. And, you know, when we first got back from the hospital, my home was obviously silent because Hamish was our first child, and it was just so quiet, and not a peaceful kind of quiet, just deathly silent. And I just couldn't handle it, and we took a trip and just went away for a week I know that's it's different for some people. If you say you're recovering from a C-section, you might not be able to do that. But I had a natural birth, so we took off and went and stayed at Byron Bay on the beach for a week. And that was just amazing. And the ocean and just the water does wonders. So if you can get yourself close to some water and nature, then yeah, I would say do it.
I agree. And what was the best thing that you guys did for your marriage?
Yeah, we're both pretty open and honest with each other. I think the hardest thing when you're going through this is you're both hurting together and you both need support. And I think it's really hard because you both want to support each other. And especially for my husband, Greg, he wanted to be strong for me while at the same time he's going through all of his grief as well. So I think the best thing we've done is rely on other people outside of our marriage for support and then, you know, help get it through each other and understand that, you know, there'll be days where one of us is more down than the other one. And, you know, there's been so many days where he's come home from work because Greg's been back at work since 3 weeks after. And he sees me lying in a heap, you know, crying, and he just feels so bad and, you know, wants to help me. And there's other days where he's not feeling the best and I'm there for him. You just got to accept that things are going to be pretty hard for a little while and, you know, be open and honest with each other about how you're feeling. And things like this happen and it is life-changing. You know, you're never going to be the same person again. You're always going to think about life a little bit differently. And I think, yeah, the best thing is you can just keep talking to each other. And, you know, that's what's helped us.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to know some ways that you honor and remember your son.
Oh, my beautiful Hamish. Well, I have photos up at home. I have his beautiful urn that I got made by a local potter. And it has a little tea light candle holder in it. So I light that candle every day. And I just speak about him. You know, when I see my friends, I talk about Hamish. And I think a lot of mums that go through this, you know, they're so proud of their children. And he was in my womb for 9 months and he's such a big part of my life and he always will be. So I think it's just having other people acknowledge him and being able to talk about him and not have it as like a secret. I think it's awkward. Sometimes people don't want to upset you, but the biggest thing I can do to honour him and feel close to him is talk about him. So, yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. And as we kind of wrap up, I would love to know your favorite thing about Hamish.
Oh, I think his light shines so brightly. And I just think that I felt so happy when he was in my tummy. And, you know, I'll never forget that feeling, you know, of the time that we spent together. Yeah, I look back on my pregnancy with really happy memories, even though it didn't obviously end the way it was supposed to. So yeah, you know, all through my pregnancy, I'll just cherish those moments that I had with him swimming in the ocean because I know that he loved the ocean. So every time I go swimming now, I think of him.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Jody, for coming on and sharing about your son and your story with us. I really appreciate it.
That's okay. Thank you so much. I think what you're doing with your podcast is beautiful and it's just such a nice thing to do, you know, to share our stories and be able to, you know, make other women feel not alone and mums and dads that are going through this because it's really painful and to have something, you know, someone else that you can listen to and hear their story, it just makes you feel so much better. So I just wanted to say thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for sharing. Have a good night.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For additional information about our guest, head on over to pregnancylossjourney.com/podcast. See you next time.